You're listening to The Continuing Adventures of Billy Barbarian, written and read by J.R. Murdock. For more information, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com or jrmurdock.com. Billy fought to open his eyes. His ears rang as if filled with a million tiny bells. Slowly, his house in the north faded, and the stage came back into view. Celine was being attended to by several people, including the doctor. Her body looked so weak, but he'd saved her.
"Get up," someone demanded. "I see you're awake now, so get up."
Billy struggled to his feet, aided by a couple of jabs from a spear point. Three city guards stood a safe distance away with their spears pointed at Billy. If he'd been in top condition, the situation wouldn't concern him in the slightest. He'd have been able to take out all three scrawny guards without even breaking a sweat. As it was, his arms felt like jelly, and the rest of his body wasn't in a cooperative mood.
"What do we do with him?" one of the guards asked.
"I don't know. The stadium is filling up even more. I thought people would start to leave," another replied.
The third said, "Why don't we just shackle him and go restore order?"
"That's a brilliant idea. Got any shackles?" the first said sarcastically.
"It was just an idea. You're such an ass sometimes. You two quit it. There's got to be something we can do with him."
Billy held up his hands. The three guards backed away slightly.
"Look, I'll just sit here on the floor. I'm not going to go anywhere. I don't have the strength or the desire to go anywhere."
"Like we're going to trust you.
I just saved Celine's life for the third time."
He wanted to tell them about Iman taking over his mind, but that sounded insane even just thinking about it. What could he tell these guards to just leave him be?
"Saved her from yourself? What a courageous man you are. Is that what a big guy like you does for fun? Going around strangling defenseless women? You make me sick."
Billy started to sit down, but was prodded and had to remain standing.
"I'm telling you, I'm not going to go anywhere. I don't have the strength. Just let me sit here. If it makes you feel better, one of you stay with me. I can't fight you, and you've got my weapons."
The three exchanged glances. One of them said,
"I don't know. He's a really big guy. You think one of us could take him? I mean, he does look really beat up and all, and he doesn't have any weapons."
Billy's head nodded. He just wanted to go to sleep. That's all he wanted to do. He didn't want to argue. He didn't want to deal with guards. He didn't even want to deal with Celine right now. Iman's plan had failed, and that's all that mattered. Phil would get there any moment with the little hand, and Seth could take him away. At least Seth would believe him that Iman had taken over his mind and tried to kill Celine. The buzz of activity on the stage distracted one of the guards. Billy wanted to lash out and take his spear, push the man to the ground and just leave. He no longer had the desire to stay. His mother's voice came to him.
"If you commit to doing something, you do it the best you're able to, both physically and mentally."
He was no longer able to do anything physically to aid Celine, but he still had his mind. It didn't matter if he was tired or not. He had to do all he could to ensure that nothing else happened to her.
"All right, you stay." One guard pointed to the distracted guard. "We're going to try and get all these people out of the stadium. I think everyone has had enough excitement for tonight. We'll be back in a couple of hours, and then we can take this one to the block."
"How come I have to stay?"
"Because I've got the most time with the guard, and we can't find the lieutenant. Now, he's just going to sit there."
The guard pushed on Billy's shoulder, but he didn't need any prompting to sit down.
"And you're going to stand there with your spear pointed at him. Got that?"
"What if I have to go to the bathroom or something?
It's only a couple of hours. Hold it."
The two guards left. Billy smiled. He had no desire to leave, but he also had no desire to be sitting on the stage with a spear pointed at him. Even without the guard near him, there were enough people on the stage to protect Celine. Billy saw the discarded and severely bent longhorn on the stage near where he sat. He rubbed the bump on his head.
"I'm not going to go anywhere if you wanted to go."
"What?"
"I'll be here. You can go do something else."
"Like I'm going to trust you. You just tried to kill Celine, and right in front of everyone."
"It wasn't me."
"Oh, right. Everyone is suffering from some sort of delusion."
"No, you're not. It was my body that attacked her.
But someone else had control of my mind."
Billy put his hand to his side and discovered that the guards had only hastily taken away his sword, dagger, and axe. Those items sat near the feet of the guard. They hadn't taken away his pouch. He had the magic rocks and silver rods in. Billy wondered if Phil made it to Iman yet.
The guard laughed. "You must think I'm really stupid or something.
You know what I think? I think you wanted to get away with it in front of all these people. I think you're just some sort of big, dumb barbarian. That's what I think.
The guard had leaned in close enough that Billy could smell the reek of onions on his breath. The whites of his eyes were nearly as yellow as his teeth. They might have not looked so bad if his skin hadn't been so dirty that they looked clean by comparison.
Believe me or don't. It doesn't matter. I'm in no condition to go anywhere. Even if I was, I wouldn't. I was hired to protect Celine.
The guard got an even bigger laugh out of this.
And who hired you?
Billy bit his lip. He didn't want to say anything about Iman.
The guards knew Iman, and they might resent the accusation.
Billy looked at the stage floor. He'd just have to sit and wait. He'd let his mom down. She'd kissed him when he'd left the North and told him to make her proud. He had intended to do just that for her and for Tommy. He wanted to make them both proud. He'd failed them. He wouldn't fail Celine. She still lay on the floor, being attended to by the doctor. Billy could only just make out her dress from between the legs of the dancers, band members, and stage crew that surrounded her. He wanted to be there, looking over her, pushing the people back, keeping her safe, and not have her made a spectacle. Iman had taken that away from him. Once he was certain Celine was safe, he'd pay Iman a visit. Dark thoughts of what he'd do to the man filled his head. He'd start by releasing the blue lions in his apartment and sending them to attack Iman. Once they'd had their way with him, Billy would topple the twin statues down upon Iman and crush him. The dark thoughts cleared. Billy's entire mind cleared, for that matter. Everything started to make an odd sense. Iman, Seth, Phil, Celine, Ronald Stump, Fat, and Jack, it all started to make sense and fit together. In a twisted sort of way, Billy was certain he knew what was going on. He had to tell someone. He started to stand up.
Whoa there, big boy! You're not going anywhere!
Billy swatted at the spear. The guard brought it back and smacked Billy on the arm with it.
Now you just stop right there. I may think you're nuts, but you must think I'm nuts if I'm going to let you go anywhere.
I have to get Celine out of here.
No one is going anywhere. Just sit yourself down. In a couple of hours, we'll all be leaving. Just like me, you need to be patient.
You don't understand. I think her life is still in danger.
Right. You're still awake, so she's in danger. It's my job to make sure you don't hurt her anymore.
Didn't you hear me? I didn't do it. I need to keep her safe.
Why don't you tell me, and I'll make sure she stays safe.
Billy didn't want to exchange words with the guard. He had to get Celine to safety. He had to... Celine slapped Billy across the face. Billy rubbed his cheek. She didn't have to do that. He already knew she was mad, but to slap him?
How dare you? How dare you put your hands on me?
Tears streamed down her face.
You made me trust you, believe in you, and then you, of all people, tried to kill me. Tell me, how dare you?
Billy looked up and opened his mouth. Celine kicked his bad leg. All the air in Billy's lungs escaped in a strained gasp. She didn't want a response. She wanted revenge. She wanted to hurt Billy for hurting her. He understood that, but she needed to let him explain.
It wasn't me, Billy strained to say. No, I suppose it was the hot dog vendor from Section 3A. Is that who it was I saw standing in front of me trying to choke the life out of me? Was it? Well?
Billy rubbed at his leg. The stitches had broken again, and the blood oozed slowly, but still didn't stop the throbbing pain that overtook his entire leg.
Someone took over my body.
What? Someone took over your body? You mean, like you're the taxi and the driver attacked me? What are you saying?
Taxi. Driver. That was as good an analogy as any.
Yes. Well, if it wasn't you, and you're the taxi, who was driving? Tell me that. Tell me.
Celine pulled at Billy's hair with her left hand and pulled his head back. She leaned her face in close to his.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you one bit. I think you tricked me and tried to kill me.
She punched Billy with her right, a strong right. Now blood flowed from his nose and stars danced in front of his face.
Wasn't me,
he said groggily as his vision came in and out of focus.
He told me the same thing, said the guard. Leave! I was ordered to stay here and guard him. I can take care of myself. Go! I'll get in trouble.
Celine turned and faced the guard. She put a hand on his shoulder.
Got a family? She asked conversationally.
Well, no.
She made a claw with her free hand.
If you don't leave now, you never will.
The guard's eyes widened. He turned and left quickly, tripping over Billy's equipment on the floor. Celine knelt down next to Billy. His body involuntarily twitched as she neared him to speak.
Billy, I trusted you. Do you understand that?
Several people stood around, but just out of earshot.
Yes.
You tried to save me, or so you claim. Then you tried to kill me. Do you know what it was like to look into your eyes as you choked me? Can you even understand how hard it was to see your face as my vision faded? I thought I had finally found a man I could trust, maybe even like, and you stole all that away from me. In one instant,
Billy put his hand on hers.
It wasn't me.
How can I believe that? No one goes around taking over people's minds. It just doesn't happen.
Billy's vision started to return, but the flow of blood from his nose gave his voice a nasally quality.
I can never hurt you. Don't you think that if I wanted to kill you, I could have done it at any time? I could still do it now.
Celine looked at Billy's chest, then his nose. She gave a coughing cry and looked away from Billy and at her feet. Billy couldn't help but notice the red marks on her neck, the marks made by his hands, but not by his mind.
Iman did it.
She nearly choked as he said this.
Iman? Are you certain?
Very.
Celine tore off a piece of her dress and handed it to Billy.
Someone said, Celine, don't give him anything! Shut up!
She leaned in closer to Billy.
Billy, are you sure it was Iman?
Yes. I don't understand magic, but he got inside my head. He used my body to try and kill you.
Billy put the torn piece of dress up to his nose to stop the flow.
Why?
I don't know. Why would anyone want to kill you?
Do you think Ateo and my dressing room girls worked for him too?
No. When Jack, Fat, and I spoke with Iman earlier, he sounded upset that Ateo had tried to kill you, like he didn't know it had happened.
Are you saying I may have more than one person trying to kill me? That doesn't make any sense. Why would anyone want to kill me? I'm just a singer.
Celine, before tonight, I didn't know anything about stadiums, dragons, musics, or concerts. This is all new to me. But I'll do anything I can to protect you and help you find out why this is happening.
Celine looked at the waiting people.
Billy, if Iman tried to use you once, is it possible that he'll try to use you again?
I guess it is, but I think he had a hard time controlling me. If he tries it again, I can give you a warning to get away from me. It will be better for me to be near you than to have me away from you where you don't know what I'm doing.
Weren't Fat and Jack working with you?
Yes.
Where are they? I haven't seen them for a while.
Could it be that Iman was going to use Jack or Fat next? Billy didn't want to think he'd have to kill either one of them. He didn't know if he could trust either one of them, but in a way he didn't want to see them killed either. Maybe Iman had been using them the same way he'd used Billy.
I don't know. Iman sent Jack on a task, and Fat, well, he was on stage next to me before I... Well, you know. I'm so sorry. I tried my best to stop him, to get him out of my mind. I didn't want him to hurt you, but...
It's okay, Billy. I think I understand a little of what's going on. A little. I don't know why it all centers around me, but I don't blame you.
Celine helped Billy to his feet.
Celine, what are you doing?
She waved off several people and motioned for Billy to collect his things.
He's still trying to protect me. Don't bother him. What are you saying? Are you well? I'm perfectly fine. And now he is too. If the city guards come back, tell them I'm not pressing any charges.
Celine turned to Billy. I think we need to get out of here.
Miss Celine, that's not going to be possible.
Steve Jameson appeared from the crowd of people.
Even if you choose to be near Billy, we can't let you leave with him. Besides, the stadium is being overrun with people. Unless I miss my guess, it's filled to at least twice its capacity now. It's a nightmare out there, and if anyone sees you with him, they'll tear him apart.
So what can we do? Celine asked.
I'm afraid we'll all just have to wait it out. The stage is secure for now, but we're surrounded by people on all sides.
Celine's hand slipped into Billy's.
The power surged into his body. Shakes rocked his body as he struggled to keep it all under control. Iman hadn't succeeded in killing Celine, but the same effect had come about. People now flooded into the stadium, effectively trapping those already within, and still more surrounded the stadium, all of them filled with the anguish over the thought that something had happened to dear Celine. Fools.
Each and every one of them was a fool. They had no idea what he'd set up or the events in motion. By the time any of them realized it, it would be far too late. Even in a mad panic, the stadium couldn't clear out for hours. Right now, his supporters should be closing and locking all the doors they possibly could. Even if only half the doors were barred, traffic out of the stadium would be sufficiently impeded, and with all the citizens of Sethopolis lurking about the outside of the stadium, would slow the exodus even further. I think it's time. Iman stood and looked out over the living waves of people before him. Waves that were the source of his greatest power. A life force that flowed from them to him, and none of them the wiser. Something pounded on the door to Iman's private box. Stupid cattle these people were. They'd never get inside his box. He'd locked the door and bolted it. He needed his privacy. He needed them outside. Even if they should manage to open the door, it was time for him to leave. All he had to do was step out through the opening and... again, the pounding on the door. This time it creaked loudly, as if someone was pushing against it. There were a lot of people inside the stadium, but not so many that they'd be forced against the doors. Could someone deliberately want inside the stadium box? And if so, who? Who could want in here? Fat was the only one who knew where his seat was. Splinters shot off the door, and a large crack appeared down its center, but the bar held. Behind the door, a person, or persons, really wanted into this box. Though he should be headed to the stage, he decided to wait. He wanted to see who it could be that would tear the door off its hinges to get at him. It certainly wasn't that barbarian. Iman chuckled. With the power coursing through his veins, he had the time to laugh. All these helpless cattle would struggle and scream to be free soon enough. A massive boot exploded through the bottom of the door, and a giant hand with four fingers and covered in brown scales reached up and crushed the rest of the door. Phil, rage in his beady little eyes and his scales bristled out to make him appear more massive, growled when he saw Iman.
Iman!
Phil tried to push through the doorway, but his bulk prevented him from getting through. Iman found it quite comical. All this rage, and for what? Why should Phil be here? Perhaps Billy had somehow informed Phil of what was going on, but that mattered little at this point. Far too little, and far too late. Iman waited. Phil struggled to get through the door, but finally gave up, trying to walk through, and just ripped the door frame apart and lunged in. Iman didn't move. Phil tore through the seats in the box and worked his way to Iman. Iman raised one hand and incanted the archaic word, Choth. He said it softly, for he didn't want Phil to be hurt too badly, and be without his life force. He had underestimated the power his body held. Phil's forward movement stopped, and he surged backwards through the remains of the doorframe and plowed over several people in the walkway beyond, and crashed into the far wall. Iman's fingers tingled. He hadn't expected the power to feel so good when it came out. It was pure ecstasy. This was just a small taste, a pittance of the power his body held. Phil rose from the far wall and stamped back. Iman took a moment to think about what to do with Phil at this time. He wasn't human, and without an intimate knowledge of his anatomy, he didn't want to try something that might not work. This time, Phil came on quickly. Iman intoned, Param. Phil crashed to the ground as his body weight doubled. That should keep you while I attend to other matters.
Iman!
Phil's voice was strained as he struggled to speak. Iman guessed that if Phil was going to go through all the trouble to speak, he could listen for a moment. Dear Phil, I'm sorry that your best client is now, or will be shortly, dead.
You wouldn't dare.
Oh, poor Phil. Of course I would.
We've used you for our security all these years.
Ah, there's a reason I fostered this relationship. It made it so much easier to get people I needed here without suspicion. And to think, the crowning jewel of my whole plan was Billy. Phil stopped struggling and looked up at Iman with a disbelief.
No.
Oh, say no if you wish. But I assure you that everyone saw him try to kill Celine. Why do you think so many rushed into the stadium to find out what had gone wrong? Didn't it occur to you to find out? Phil had something in his hand. Iman reached down to touch it. It looked like a small hand with tiny scrolling patterns upon it. As Iman reached to it, Phil raised his hands ever so slowly, and the tiny hand opened and clenched.
I think we'll leave that alone. Iman stood up quickly.
Billy would never try to kill Celine. He saved her life twice already tonight.
Maybe he was waiting for the right opportunity to kill her himself. Waiting for just the right time. Phil still tried desperately to raise his arm and get the tiny hand near Iman. Iman backed away. The little hand must be something sent by Seth. He didn't know how it had gotten to Phil, but it didn't matter. As long as it didn't get on him, he'd be fine, and Seth would have no power over him. Such a fun game. Too bad it would be over all too soon. I'm afraid my audience awaits. I must bid you a fond farewell. I do hope, now that Celine is done, you'll stick around for the after show. It'll be a blast. Iman laughed and turned to leave.
Wait.
Wait. Oh, I cannot keep them waiting. Can't you feel their anguish? Can't you feel their pain? They suffer, and they all suffer for me. Tonight is only the beginning, Phil. Tonight is only the beginning. Perhaps if you survive the night, I'll hire you as my agent. Iman threw his head back and laughed. Phil made a feeble attempt to get the hand to Iman, and an even lamer attempt to throw it. It landed far short of its intended goal. Enjoy the show. Iman floated into the air and drifted on the currents of pain and agony toward the stage. Gasps of amazement rose from the people. Such petty minds, so easily amazed. No wonder Celine had such a prosperous career, keeping them dazzled with simple tricks. The time for simple tricks and simple minds was over. In just a few minutes, they'd know that. In a few minutes, all their lives would be extinguished. Forever.
So what do we do?
Celine asked Billy.
Think, Billy, think.
There had to be something they could do. But in order to do anything, they had to know what Iman had planned. Had all this elaborate setup with Fat, Jack, and him, all to kill Celine, and now that he failed, would he try again? Something about his trying to kill Celine didn't feel right. There wasn't anything to gain, and people like Iman didn't do anything unless they could gain something from it. And what did Seth have to gain by stopping Iman? Billy thought he knew, but he had to be sure before he trusted the information with anyone. He hated keeping anything from Celine, but with all the people on the stage, what looked like all of the dancers, the band members, the backstage crew, and he and Celine, he wasn't going to say anything to spook them. The sounds from the crowd grew restless. Each one of those people had seen him try to kill Celine. Each one of them would kill him if they had a chance. He might be able to hold off 10 or 20 of them in his weakened state, but never could he hold off the entire stadium. Even Phil, with his scales up to protect him from attack, would be hard-pressed to protect himself from an angry mob, and judging by the sounds, that's what they had out there.
Maybe we need to go look out and show them that I'm still alive. Perhaps we can get them to believe that it was all an act.
No, we can't risk you poking your head out there when the people are trying to kill you.
We have nowhere to go, do we?
Steve, is there anywhere we can go? Any exit that we could use?
People came in from every exit and flooded this place. There's nowhere to go. The only place we might be able to hide is under the stage. There's a crawl space under there. Well, not really a crawl space, as you can stand up under there, but it'd only be a matter of time before they found us. If we're going to take these people on, I'd rather see it coming, if you don't mind.
Billy smiled at Steve.
I agree.
Billy was glad for Steve's answer. It meant that he at least trusted him a little bit. And why shouldn't any of them trust him? If Celine trusted him, they all should as well. He had to shake off the negative feelings. He had to focus. He spoke as privately as he could to Celine.
What could Iman want with killing you? How does that help him?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. He always provided personal security for me during my concerts. When the concert was announced, Phil didn't even have to call Iman. The security was already arranged. That's all he's ever done for us.
Have you not paid him or given him any reason to want to kill you?
No, Phil always takes care of that. It's never been a question of not paying him. We've always taken care of him. Quite well, in fact.
Then why does he want you dead?
Maybe he doesn't care if I'm dead or not.
What do you mean?
I mean, what if he did it to scare me? Or to scare all the people in the stadium?
What good are a bunch of scared people?
Well, I don't know much about magic, but from what I understand, magic comes from different places. Most who use magic pull it up from the ground, like you're drawing water from a well. Others can get it from the air. But it's been said that people have magic within them that they can't use, and...
And someone could tap that magical energy within people if they figured out how to get it out.
Right. That's the difficult part. Finding a way to get it out of people.
And the more people, the stronger the magic?
Well, I'd guess they'd have to be packed in close together so they're sharing their magic in a way that someone could siphon off as much as they needed without killing anyone.
Billy pulled Celine toward the curtain.
Hey! Steve yelled. Don't take her out there!
I'm not. We just need to look at something.
Steve ran up to join them.
Really, don't move the curtain. We don't want anyone knowing we're up here.
I just need a quick look. You look with me. I want you to try and estimate how many people are out there.
Steve and Billy got a quick glance around the curtain. Billy's jaw dropped, seeing all the bodies packed in like sheep to a slaughter. Not a spot anywhere in the stadium, save the stage, was empty.
It's not possible, Steve said and gasped.
What is it?
Celine, don't look around that curtain.
Billy moved her away from the curtain.
The stadium is packed with people. I mean packed. Perhaps 100,000 people out there, and that's just the people I can see.
But that would mean...
That would mean he's got enough people.
Steve looked confused.
Who has enough people?
Steve, I think Iman is going to try and do something to the crowd or with the crowd. Celine told me that if he's figured out how to siphon magic from people, he could become really powerful from all these people. I don't know how powerful, but I'm guessing this could be really bad.
What should we do?
We need a way out of the stadium. You need to get Celine and everyone else out of here if you can.
Billy, Celine said, what about you? I'm not just going to leave you here.
I'm hurt, and everyone in the stadium thinks I tried to kill you. They're not going to let me leave anyway. I have to stay behind and see if I can do something about Iman.
But how are you going to do anything about him? He's hiding out there somewhere, and you're here on the stage.
Well, there's the easy part. He's on his way down here.
How do you know that?
Billy moved the curtain slightly and pointed to a floating figure passing above the heads of the crowd.
No! He's coming to the stage! Why is he coming to the stage? Billy, he can't come to the stage! We've got nowhere to go! What are we going to do? How can we fight him if he's got the power from all these people?
I don't know. I just know that I have to.
You can't! You'll never be able to defeat him! Never! Don't you understand? With the magic from all these people, he'll destroy you! A flick of his wrist and you'll be broken!
I can't let him get to you. If this was all a setup, and he's trying to cause anguish from all these people, I can't let him even see you. He'll use you before he uses me. You've got to get hidden.
Celine clung to Billy. It hurt his arm like mad, but he pulled her off and pushed her to Steve.
Steve, please, get her somewhere safe. You've got to get her somewhere and keep her there, and keep her quiet. Take as many people as you can.
You got it.
No, no, you can't, no!
Steve pulled Celine away. She kicked and screamed with each step of the way. It pained him to see her pulled away like that, but he had to do this, and he had to do it alone. He peeked out again and saw Iman land just on the edge of the stage. He turned to address the crowd.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to The Continuing Adventures of Billy Barbarian. For more information on this book and its author, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com or jrmurdoch.com. And again, thank you for listening.